The story of Palm Sunday is one almost all of us know by heart. Each of the gospel accounts cover the triumphal entry of Jesus, and each one gives us a slightly different detail of what happened. From Luke 20, we read, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." The other accounts tell us that it is both a donkey, the mother, and its colt. But in all the accounts, we find something interesting. Jesus doesn't tell them to go buy one, or rent one, or even borrow one. What does Jesus say to do? He tells them to find it, untie it, and bring it to him. And I love what he says in the story and what Jesus specifically tells them to say in verse 31. "If anyone asked you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Now, if I showed up at Danny's house and I walked through, took the keys to his Thunderbird and started to get into it, and said, "The Lord needs it," I don't think Danny would let me out of the garage. And it certainly wouldn't work if a stranger just showed up and said, "The Lord needs it." But that's what happened. In one of the accounts, they showed up and somebody said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." And they took the donkey. And Jesus rides it into town. And not only does riding the donkey fulfill the Old Testament scripture, the donkey was a sign of peace and humility. That means this leader is coming under the auspice of peace and humility, whereas if he would have been riding a large horse or a stallion, it would have been a sign that would symbolize a valiant hero or a conqueror coming as the conquering hero, you know, the celebration, right? And Matthew 21 tells us this: "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And these were palm branches." That's why we call it Palm Sunday. And why did people do this? Why would they welcome Jesus into town like somebody very important? Because when you were that important, they didn't want you to touch the dirt on the road. So you would lay your cloak out or lay the palms down so they didn't touch. Just like, you know, on a wedding, we put the nice little runner out for the bride, right? This is the same kind of honor that we give them. There were a lot of reasons that people showed up for this event. And a lot of them had different reasons. John 12 tells us this: "Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him." So in other words, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Wow, what a great trick. What an awesome thing. What is he going to do now? Right? If Jesus went from healing sick, doing this, and raising somebody from the dead, and he's coming to town again, what kind of show is this going to be? And so these people show up hoping to see Jesus top that next event. And so we have this group of witnesses that gathered for the wrong reasons. In Luke 20, we find another group. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some people thought that he was a king, a prince, or a ruler sent from God. But they were not thinking heavenly king. They were thinking of an earthly kingdom. The Gospel of Mark quotes these same people saying, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." They thought they were going back to the good old days when Israel ruled most of the Middle East under King David. And so far, we have two groups of people showing up to cheer Jesus who didn't really get who he was. But you know who else didn't get who he was at that day? The disciples. Going back to John 12, it says, at first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had happened, had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. So, meaning, until after the resurrection, Palm Sunday's a whole week ahead of it. It wasn't until a much later time that they actually got it. And you would think of the 12, maybe one of them would have got it, right? I mean, they spent 3 years with this guy. And Jesus, all along, we find in the scriptures, is laying down some information for them, and they're not picking it up. So even his disciples didn't get what was going on Palm Sunday. But in the scriptures, we do find some people who do get at least partial credit. From Matthew 21, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? So there's some people that have no idea what's going on. Hey, there's a party, a parade, what's going on? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So they get partial credit because he was Jesus, he was a prophet, he was from Nazareth and Galilee. But that was not the true and rightful answer, because he was also the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But as we know, Jesus came to establish a new kingdom, an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God, and not an earthly kingdom. Because let's face it, even the greatest kingdom, the kingdom of David and the kingdom of Solomon, fell. This great King David that they were talking about was a guy who became an adulterer, a guy who became a murderer, a guy whose own children turned on him. And then within a few centuries, his kingdom has been destroyed. And at the time of Jesus, only a tribe remained, the tribe of Judah, where we get the term Jew from. That was the last remaining of the 12 tribes of Israel. So they're calling for a kingdom that's going to fall again. And this was not the kingdom that God came to establish. He came to establish an eternal kingdom. And in our story, there's one more set of witnesses. John 12 says this. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. These guys are totally unhappy with this parade. And these people who are all revved up and singing praises about Jesus, and they're saying, no, this isn't right. We're supposed to be the ones that it's all about. Luke 20 says this, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And what is sad about this is that the Pharisees were the churchiest church people. Do you know some churchy people? You know the kind I'm talking about. They know the Bible, they know everything, and they're ready to tell you everything they know about it and what you're doing wrong. The Pharisees were among the most, if not the most, educated people around. And if any people of any time should have and could have identified Jesus and rightly praised him, it should have been these people. They knew the scriptures, they knew the prophecies, they knew all of the stuff, and yet they denied who Jesus was. Last week, we looked at Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, both of them members of the Jewish ruling council, both of them Pharisees. But remember, they wanted to keep it a secret. They tried to tell people, but they kept getting shut down. And the Pharisees see this parade and this crowd getting frothed up, and they yell out, and they wanted this nonsense stopped. And what does Jesus say to them? From Luke 20, he says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You see, we forget at the time of the fall when Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't just man that fell, creation fell. The serpent was cursed, the ground was cursed, childbearing was cursed, everything was cursed, including creation. And it is not only man who is seeking redemption from sin. Creation wants to be restored to its goodness. Because we were created good. All of creation was created good. But it is in a fallen state. And Jesus says even the earth is waiting to cry out because they know it needs restored and redeemed. And Jesus knows that ultimately he's going to have victory, that all of creation, all of man can be restored. And Jesus knows this glory is coming, a glory that's worthy of praise, a glory so good that even nature knows it. And Luke continues to tell us this. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus wept because so many people got it wrong. I mean, if someone was throwing a parade and a party for me, I would be pretty darn excited about it, even if it wasn't for the right reasons. I would enjoy the moment, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus goes in and he weeps. And you see, you and I have the advantage on this side of the resurrection, right? We already know the whole story. We have 2,000 years of church history. And I have to ask you, what are we getting wrong? What are we proclaiming, if anything at all? We just came over a denominational split over some ugly, didn't we? We were tied up with all kinds of stuff and need to do this and got to do that and got to vote on this and got to vote on that. And we have to ask ourselves, when was the last time you truly proclaimed your faith? From Luke, it says, the people proclaimed, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. From Matthew and Mark, it says, the people proclaimed, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. John says, they proclaimed, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Yet all of these people had it wrong. They were proclaiming for the wrong reasons. But I think part of the problem we have today is not that we're proclaiming for the wrong reasons, and we just don't even proclaim anymore. When was the last time you proclaimed your faith anywhere outside of the church walls? Proclaiming that Jesus is your Savior, that Jesus is your Messiah, that Jesus is your King. Did you come today because it was going to be a celebration and you were going to enjoy it? Or did you come here today because Jesus is your King and you wanted to worship and honor him and proclaim to him, Hosanna in the highest heaven? We have the advantage. We know the story. We know that Jesus came for our forgiveness and to give us eternal life. People, we are the church, and we should be saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I have two questions for you. Are you living the life of Hosanna, or are you living the life that made Jesus weep? That's a tough question, isn't it? Because it's fun to come here and watch Drew run up and down the... And every Sunday, don't you get a kick when Drew loves to give offering? I wish everybody could run as soon as they saw the offering plate like he does. Drew, I love you, buddy. I love Emerson's energy. And that's fun, right? But is that why you're here? Did you come today because you knew the choir was going to have a great special? Did you come today because Bonnie plays an amazing organ? Did you come to watch me make Carla angry giving announcements? That wasn't on purpose. It just happens. But what are you doing in your life that says Hosanna? What are you doing in your life to say, "I have been redeemed by a God who loves me. I have been forgiven of my sins, and I have an eternal home in the new heaven and a new earth where God will be dwelling with me, where there's no more sin and no more tears, no more ugly, no more evil, for all the old ugly of this world will be passed away and cast into the lake of fire. And I will be living in a place that needs no sun because the light of God shines directly on us." We are called to live the life of Hosanna, but most of us are more interested in talking about politics, talking about March Madness, talking about anything and everything except our faith. And so ask yourself, this past week, did you live a life of Hosanna? Or did you live a life that made Jesus weep? Because Jesus saw these people giving false praise for the wrong reasons. Was he going to do another miracle? Was he doing something good for me? Hey, this is a party. What's going on? I'm here. I'm in. Woohoo! Party, right? It's a good time. We need to see Jesus for who Jesus is. We need to acknowledge that without Jesus, we are lost and condemned to death. That in Jesus Christ, we have new life. We have eternal life. And in a world that brings us nothing but hurt and shortcomings and failures, a world when we look around us, we're seeing tragedies. I mean, if you want a heartbreak, just go down to Children's Hospital. You get a heartbreak there. If you want a heartbreak, turn the news on and watch what's going on down and over the Rhine. If you want a heartbreak, read about stories like this accident where this young child is injured. All of us are half a step away from tragedy, aren't we? If not already in tragedy. Is there anybody here who does not have a broken relationship of one kind or another? But we don't have to live in that world. We don't have to be brought down and sunk into lower levels by this world because we are a people of Hosanna. We are children of God. We are children of a kingdom where we are promised victory, people. And if you want to fill this church up with people, then you need to become a people of Hosanna. Because if you leave here today and you go down to Nick's American Cafe and everybody says, "How you doing?" "Well, I'd be better off if the preacher didn't shut up." Or, "Man, I don't like going to that church. It's full of hypocrites." Or, "I don't like this," or, "I don't like that," and you sound like you're Eeyore. "Where's me? Went to church today. Had to get up early. Oh." Who wants to be a church like that? I wouldn't come. If somebody came up to you and said, we're starting a new club and it's pretty miserable, nobody gets along, we have a lot of worthless meetings, and you should come. It's a good time. Would you join that? Would you be a part of that? But if somebody came to you and said, my goodness, we just spent over an hour worshiping God and waving palms and celebrating our children and all the good things that God has done, and I leave there feeling good and refreshed and equipped, and God is good and God is great and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they're either going to say, wow, you're a nut job, or they're going to realize they want what you have. And that's called being a witness, people. We are called to witness the glory of God and the salvation that he has given us. And that's how you go out and make disciples. Let us pray together. And gracious God, there are so many times like these witnesses in the story that we don't get it and we don't get it right. And it breaks my heart to think of Jesus weeping over his church. The very people who should know better. The very people who should know and understand the scriptures and why Jesus Christ came. And the abounding love that you have for your creation, especially the creatures you created in your own image. Lord, forgive us for the times that we get it wrong. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to turn us into a people of joy, a people ready to go into this world and celebrate just who you are. And Lord, with Easter upon us, let us come together this week. Let us have a glorious Monday, Thursday. Allow us to reflect on your Son on Good Friday. Let us come here and be a people of joy and welcome our community on Saturday. And on Sunday, let us sacrifice our entire morning to your praise, to fellowship, to service, and to more worship. Let there never be enough of you for us. Let us always seek to be in your presence, to be in community with one another, and to be living out the life that you called us to be a people of Hosanna. This we pray in Christ's glorious name. Amen. Listen, we are a people of joy. You have 1 week to find somebody to bring and fill this church on Easter Sunday. Come Sunday morning to sunrise. I know you're probably not going to get a visitor to come on that one. But you come and prepare yourself. And then come and fellowship with our breakfast. And then if you're not out delivering the Easter basket, you have 1 hour to find a friend, a family member, or somebody. Kick them out of bed and get them here to celebrate the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. And then the history of the church. See, we've made Christmas too big. And a lot of you don't like to hear that. But in the history of the church, it was all about Resurrection Sunday because of what Christ did, not only by dying on the cross, but conquering death and rising and walking out of that tomb. And it should be our biggest day of celebration of the year. So I look forward to seeing all of you bright-eyed. Well, maybe not bright-eyed. But even if you have to bring your coffee, you're welcome to bring that big travel mug full of coffee. But I promise once you start to worship and celebrate God, it will all go away and you will be energized to love, to fellowship, and to be a people of Hosanna. Let us go from here and be proclaimers of God's holy and wonderful world. Let us go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.